way that they're treating. I mean, Pelosi doesn't even speak with the House yet. It took all of 9 days from the election for the press people to start getting their digs in on Speaker Pelosi. And again, she's not even Speaker yet. She won't be Speaker for another 2 months. Here's what Glenn Greenwald of Glenn Greenwald had to say. He says, it says nothing of the fact that the Hoyer-Murtha race, and Hoyer was the guy who was elected the number two position over Jack Murtha, who was Pelosi's pick, who picked Murtha because he had more loyalty to Ms. Pelosi. Nothing wrong with that. This race is being depicted as some sign of hateful Democratic infighting that shows Pelosi has lost control, even though Republicans are mauling each other for every single House leadership position, all of which are hotly contested. I mentioned Trent Lott in the last segment. Trent Lott defeated Lamar Alexander by a vote of 25-24 in the Senate for position of minority whip. There's nothing wrong with these various factions competing for leadership positions. That's called an election. And only those to whom Eric Alterman refers to as the smart boys at the TNR and Slate would view a simple election for House Majority Leader as some apocalyptic sign that the Democrats are lame, idiotic, and hopelessly divided. Unquote. Now, all this talk for many years that the Republicans screaming bloody murder, that the media is liberal and blah, 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 and whatever political leanings individual reporters might happen to have, let's be clear about certain things. First of all, the ones who write the paychecks are the ones who support the Republican Party, period. The people who control the paychecks, the people who pay these people their salaries, are huge supporters of the Republican Party. And the truth of the matter is, the only real voice you have in the so-called professional arena, outside of the internets, is the corporate message. Even when they're trying to balance it with something else, you'll never hear a real socialist beyond, even at NPR, without having some sort of right-winger to make a commentary behind it, to give balance, so to speak. There's one thing to have balance in opposing viewpoints, but another thing is you cannot have balance between the truth and a lie. And what the Republicans have been doing for the last 12 years, last 16 years, no, 12 years, excuse me, since 1994 when they took over the Congress, the House and the Senate, have been lying to you. They lied to get the power to begin with. They lied to their Christianist supporters. They lied to their libertarian supporters. All right, I've had enough. Let's get some people on here to talk about. We've got Timber on line one from North Carolina. Hey, Timber, how you doing?
Hey, Joe, I'm good. Hope you are.
Pretty good. I've been reading your posts on my blog.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Mm-hmm. Look, I do want to call and challenge a couple of assumptions that we've been making about this election, and I waited a couple of weeks so because I didn't really want to feel like I was peeing on everybody's parade, but I honestly don't see how people on the Horn and people on the liberal blogs are claiming this as a progressive victory, because to me it was won on disapproval over the Iraq War and over the corruption scandals like DeLay and the Mark Foley thing that came up. And my concern is that regardless of what we say, well, that's my first point. I would like to hear people's evidence that it was a progressive victory or a victory for the progressive wing of the Democratic Party, because I don't see that. And if we allow that to be the meme, if we allow that to be the argument that's made that it was a victory for progressives, and then we see no progressive agenda being advanced over the next 2 years, or if there's a Democrat elected president in 2008 during a presidential term by a Democrat, then we have allowed the Republicans and the right to, again, redefine the meaning of the words liberal and progressive and make what is liberal and progressive really just a very centrist position that just holds ground until the next Republican right-wing counter-revolution.
Well, you're not going to get too much of an argument from me. I have expressed in no uncertain terms my disappointment with the Democratic leadership. The only thing I'll say about it is that it's better than the current Republican leadership, which isn't saying a whole lot. I think a tribe of monkeys could do a better job than the clowns that have been in there. Some of the people elected as Democrats were, in fact, hardcore left. Bernie Sanders, for example, is a socialist, you know, straight out. But the Democratic Party is a much bigger tent than the Republican Party. You will never see any kind of true liberal in any way, shape, or form in the Republican Party.
And that's a good point. What is the liberal wing of the Republican Party? There isn't one, and yet we take great pride in the fact that we have dozens of conservative Democrats who vote for conservative issues and vote along with the Republicans. There is no counterbalance to that in the Republican Party, so we are always at a disadvantage in that way right there, and yet we take pride in it. Those people have a party they could belong to. There are no liberals in the Republican Party. So why do we have conservatives in the Democratic Party? How is that a counterbalance? If we're only going to allow two parties in this country, why don't we have a distinction in political ideology between the two parties?
Well, I happen to think that you should have a big tent mentality. I mean, I'm not against principled conservatives. People like, you know, that used to be like Dwight Eisenhower, who was a principled conservative, who understood, you know, the liberal necessity of the times. I mean, he started the Federal Highway Program. That was a huge government program, one of the biggest since the New Deal. So there have been principled conservatives from time to time. Very few of them are left. There was a talk about James Webb. Bilmon from Bilmon.org talked about, in a post entitled Comrade Webb, about how he's being, you know, he used to be a fairly Reagan conservative, but now he's switched over to the Democratic Party, and he's saying things like a socialist, talking about having to change the way wealth has been distributed in this country from the very poor to the very rich. And that's socialist talk right now. So even some of the Democrats are starting to talk that way. But I agree with you, whether or not they actually act on these sort of things is another story altogether. And the so-called professional media, who make so much money and who are enslaved by making so much money, are perfectly willing to carry water for the Republican Party. And I've had other people that I know here who are lefties and activists, say that the problem is not so much that it's conservatives causing the problem, it's just the nut jobs in the Republican Party have taken over. They're not even real conservatives, although I hear otherwise.
Even the people who call themselves conservatives in this country, even the people who call themselves libertarians, are that in word only. Those people love state socialism. They love having corporate welfare propping up the Forbes 500 and
sure,
breaks for Walmart so they can come in and drive out small business. People are not traditional conservatives. There may be a few, but overall, those, even saying that, I don't even think there are that many real conservatives in ideologically speaking.
No, I think the principal conservatives have been driven out of power, you know, by the hardcore radicals in the Republican Party. And you know, there's another subject on it too, and something that you and I have been talking about for quite some time, and I know from your comments, and I hear people all the time saying, can we stop this talk about the deep old machines now? And I'm like, no! Because quite frankly, I think the only reason why the Democrats won it all is because we finally had enough votes to overwhelm the amount of cheating that we're doing. Because what Rove does is he has a 51% strategy. He doesn't want to win in a landslide. He just wants to win. And so my assumption was that they had gotten the Diebold machines where they were used, rigged so that the Republicans would win by just enough. But there were so many anti-Republican votes, and it was really more of an anti-Republican than a pro-Democratic election, at least as I see it. The Democrats won by such a huge margin that even the Diebold machines couldn't counter. And the thing about it is, regardless of whether anything's actually happening, we don't know, since there's no evidence with any of these electronic machines. There's no paper ballots you can go back and count, right? So
yeah,
we still need to get rid of the machines.
And if the past couple of elections had been stolen, and they decided not to let this one be stolen, or they maybe even jiggered it in favor of the Democrats in some elections to make the elections continue to look valid, at least until 2008 when they can put in another Republican president, who knows what's going on?
Yeah, and they're probably going to slip McCain off on us,
well,
as far as that's concerned.
Let me ask you specifically about Iraq, because people say that it was disapproval over Iraq that was the other big deciding factor aside from the scandals and things like that. If we had gone into Iraq with 400,000 troops, razed those cities to the ground, maybe had a month-long bombing campaign of population centers and every possible military installation, and installed a puppet dictator who had a state secret police like the Savak from Iran that was taking people, disappearing people in the middle of the night, destroying any kind of resistance. But Iraq was peaceful and American soldiers were not dying there. Do you think Iraq would be an issue?
No, probably not. But you know, hell, it was stable when Saddam Hussein was in there. He was just not our dictator.
But Democrats are saying is a disapproval of the Iraq war, and I think it's only a disapproval of the fact that that it wasn't a clean win.
Well, because nobody can go on press and say, even to this day, that just the idea of going to war was a mistake. Because the thing you have to say is, well, going to war was the right thing, but it was done the wrong way.
Right.
And the corporate media simply is not going to allow a different viewpoint out there. And whenever somebody does, I mean, look at how Republicans treat decorated war veterans. Mean Gene Schmidt calling John Murtha a coward. Schmidt, who never saw a day of combat in her life. You know, and meanwhile, you know, look at how they treated John Kerry. Whatever you felt about John Kerry's political abilities, they were attacking his war record, which is very clear. And the press was just piling on. And he was made to apologize for a joke recently that he was making about President Bush. So it's a viewpoint that's not going to get easily heard. And the best way to deal with it is to get on the horn here and listen to us here and listen to Air America. And, you know, stop reading the traditional newspapers. Just read news for progressives and liberals. And just ignore, for the most part, the so-called professionals, especially on television. I haven't watched cable TV news in a long time. Watch The Daily Show. You're going to get better news from The Daily Show than you're going to get on a thing. Listen, we're a little late on the break. Timber, I got to let you go. But we got to pay some bills here. And I'll be back. After this, but Timber, I want to thank you for your call.
Take care, Joe.
And all right, we'll be back in a few. Anybody else wants to call in? And yeah, we do have a couple other people online. We'll try to get to them as soon as possible. The number to call in is 1-877-443-2366. And Agnes is right. Gene Schmidt looks as if the war took place on her face. We'll be back in a few with the Cup of Joe Radio Show.
Recently on the Guy James Show on the Head On Radio Network.
If you have tuned into this program by mistake right now, and you are a Republican, a right-wing Republican specifically, before this program is over, I do want to warn you, you're going to think that I'm the devil. You're going to think I've got horns and a red cape because I hate the Bush administration and everything they stand for. So be warned right away, okay? You're all warned right now that that's where we're coming from today.
Don't miss Guy James, weekdays, 3 to 5 Eastern Time, on the Head On Radio Network.
There's one place on the web you can go that's so topical, you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. WDYAD40.com. Clyde, Wally, and Dookie are there. They're working hard every day to give you updates in news, politics, and a great sense of humor. So stop on by and see the boys at WD40.com. A place where you can raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com. Your one-stop shop for all things progressive.
In the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina, you can help people in need. Here are a few suggestions. Contact your local Red Cross. Donate blood. Call 1-800-HELP-NOW. You can also donate money. Go to redcross.org. And as well, you can contact your local church, synagogue, or mosque and find out what they're doing to help people affected by Hurricane Katrina. Thank you for your help and get involved.
Homeland Security advisories are at the highest levels. If you have a disability or special need, you may have to take additional steps to protect yourself and your household in the event of an emergency. Contact your local Office of Emergency Management or Fire Department to find out about special assistance that may be available in your community. Go to www.floridadisaster.org for more information. This message has been brought to you by the Florida Division of Emergency Management, the Florida Broadcasters, and this radio station.
This is The Horn, the head-on radio network.
Okay, and we're back here on the Cup of Joe radio show. Thanks, Timber, for calling in, and thanks for everybody being here. Once again, the number, if you want to call in and talk to me, is 1-877-443-2366, 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. Let me continue on with the thing I was talking about, with the issue that I was talking about you know, how they're treating Speaker Pelosi and all that. Going back to Glenn Greenwald, what he wrote was, he said, the Beltway media, let me know, where was it? Americans just elected new leadership quite deliberately. They are obviously fine with Nancy Pelosi. Because we overcame, and to my own thing, we overcame huge obstacles to defeat the Republicans in this election. This is even larger than what happened in 94, because when the Republicans were going in 94, they also had the press behind them. In fact, they showed a picture of the Time magazine cover after the election in 94 that showed an elephant trampling on a Democrat and on a donkey. You know, like it was roaring, charging and all that stuff. Oh, but here, after the Democrats won an even more resounding victory after 12 years of Republican incompetence and corruption, they had to think about, well, where do we people meet in the middle? And you wonder why things are wrong in this country, and it just goes to show how bad these guys have screwed up, that even with all the cheating, even with all the advantages they have, that they still lost the House and the Senate. Now, of course, it's always possible that holy Joe Lieberman will decide to caucus with the Republicans and bring it back into a 50-50 tie. Actually, the way it stands right now is 49-49 and two independents, and Lieberman is one of them. And I hope that in 2008 we will take enough Senate seats so that we can kick Mr. Lieberman the hell out of the party. As far as I'm concerned, I understand why they're hanging on to him, but he's a schmuck and he's a putz. And we need to kick him out. I don't want a Democrat that's going to be playing kissy face with George W. Bush. Hang on a second. And, you know, Speaker Pelosi's from San Francisco, that crazy gay liberal city. San Francisco. And the Republicans made an issue out of her being a speaker, saying, is this what you want? And the zombies in the Deep South, Alabama, Mississippi, Georgia, they all went, oh, you can't have that. Oh, oh, oh. Speaker Pelosi doesn't share our values. Get off of my seat, Daddy. You're crushing my cigarette. Get off of my lap. Yeah, good old deeply rural Southern values. I had my share of those for 12 years, people. Trust me, they're not any more moral or any less moral than anybody else. I'll guarantee it. Is there racism in the Northeast and in the Midwest and on the West Coast? Yeah, there is. It's all there. It's all over the country. But the Southerners take pride of it. They put up flags announcing their racism and put them on their state capitals. And they talk about their heritage. My daddy was this and that. You know what? My grandfather was a poor Sicilian immigrant who came to this country, I don't know exactly when, early part of the century, I guess, 1911, 1912, perhaps. And he sold fish from a horse-drawn cart and other things when fish weren't in season to make a living. My dad was born in 1921. He grew up during the Depression. And he had to leave school in order to work to support his family, like many people had to do back then. Okay? But things changed in this country because of work of people like my dad and other people who supported the New Deal and who were sick of policies that basically said that that the government is there to help a few rich people and screw everybody else. And meanwhile, nobody could find jobs. And not all the economic policies given out by the New Deal worked, but a lot of them did. The Civilian Conservation Corps, which is still around today. Social Security, which is the most successful government program in human history. And the Republicans want to destroy it. Hey, hey, ho, ho, Social Security has got to go, they scream. And if you're a working person in this country, you understand exactly what I'm talking about. Because it's stuff you live every single day. The little annoyances you put up with on the job. I put up with a bunch of them myself. I'll be seeing this meme now for the next 2 months about how nasty Nancy Pelosi is and what a mean little bitch she is. Oh, the liberal San Francisco. And never mind all... You know, and never mind the fact that in 94, Newt Gingrich's handpicked choice for his number two guy lost the Republican leadership election. Never mind that at all, because that was hardly even brought up. Except as straight news, you didn't have a million people on TV shows every single day talking about what a disaster this is. Ignore them. Boycott them. Boycott all big corporate stores in any way, shape, or form. If you work for Walmart, quit. It has nothing to do with what I was talking about before, but I'm going to get that point out every single show whenever I can. These are silly people. They have been wrong about damn near everything for the last 6 years, and even for the last 12 years. And now that we have some Democrats in leadership positions, they just can't wait to dig their little claws and go back to being investigative reporters again. But God forbid we can't have anybody say anything bad about Republicans, because that would be too partisan. Oh, we want the divisiveness to end. I'll say this. I'll paraphrase what Theoden had to say in Lord of the Rings when he said to Saruman. He said, "We'll have peace. We'll have peace when your body is food for your own crows. That's when we'll have peace. The time for nice talk is over. It's been over." Yes, I know, I'm sorry. I've got people holding online. We're just getting ready. Not quite yet, but we're just getting ready to go to the top of the hour here. Hang on to the phone there, and we'll get you after the break. Let me ramble on for a few more minutes. But these people are not being listened. You know, I'll tell you this about me, okay? Whatever other feelings I have politically or whatever, you know, when I say something on the show, I say it because I believe it. And when I express an opinion, I don't necessarily have a buttload of facts at hand. But when I give an opinion, it's an opinion that's been formed by doing the research, by trying to understand all sides of the picture. And when I first started to get into politics, one of the things I almost immediately noticed was that Republicans were a-holes. I noticed that very quickly. Not just the politicians themselves, but their supporters. And it's time that we started to let the press know that we're just not listening to them. Thank you.
This is the Head-On Radio Network.
This is the Quality News Network. A U.S. general says the bombing of one of Shia's most sacred mosques this morning was an inside job. 15 security officers guarding the site have been arrested. The demolition of two minarets at the Golden Dome in Samarra has threatened to make sectarian violence in Iraq even more explosive, as it did last year when the mosque was first targeted. Curfews have been called, and even firebrand Shia cleric Muqtada al-Sadr is calling for calm. Despite pleas from clerics not to retaliate, an important Sunni mosque in Baghdad was bombed just minutes before the curfew was put into effect. Two U.S. soldiers were killed in Baghdad yesterday. Two were wounded. A Marine was killed in combat in the Anbar province. Fierce fighting in Gaza this morning claimed the lives of at least another 9 Palestinians. 60 have died in the past 4 days. Gunmen fired at a peace demonstration this morning, killing one. Regional analysts fear the territories are teetering on the brink of all-out civil war. The UN announced it will immediately trim its humanitarian aid assistance in Gaza following the death of two of its workers there today and the wounding of two others. The UN will shrink its immediate assistance in the area to food supplies and medical aid. In Jerusalem, former Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Barak has been elected head of the Labor Party. Shimon Peres is expected today to be elected as president of Israel. Barak, Peres, and other leading politicians have called for the resignation of Israel's current Prime Minister Ehud Olmert. On Capitol Hill, the House today debates legislation aimed at keeping guns out of the hands of the mentally ill. Widely supported after the Virginia Tech massacre, the bill was written with the assistance of the National Rifle Association. For only the second time in his presence,